The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports, right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Father's Day is always special, let me tell you that first and foremost. However, when you have U.S. Open golf to watch, and you are given the gift of a Game 7 in the NBA Finals on Father's Day, I really don't think it gets any better than that. Gotta welcome in my tag team partner in crime, Jeff Rich. Good morning, Jeff. How are you, man?
It is a good morning, Dorf, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Yep.
51 absolutely. Years, 5 months, 2 weeks, 5 days down, 1 win to go. Cleveland's been waiting a long time. It all comes down to Game 7.
Yeah, I mean, one game for the biggest prize in the NBA, and I'll tell you what, kind of interesting how it all came about. We all know Golden State had to battle 1-3 down. Well, guess what? Cleveland has had to battle 1-3 down.
And the Warriors have to deal with some injuries. It's kind of the shoes on the other foot this year. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's a very good point. No Andrew Bogut. Been gone for a couple games now, and we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But anyways, Jeff Rich, Dorfman, just getting warmed up. We're going to be talking a ton about the NBA Finals. Keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you've ever had a roof leak, you're familiar with the ugly stain that's left behind on your ceiling after the leak is fixed. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll tell you how to take care of that stain right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
When a roof leak reaches the living space of your home, the water stains the drywall where it soaks through. Many people assume that they can just roll a coat of paint over the spot and the problem is solved, but it doesn't work that easily because the stain will bleed right back through. The solution is a stain-blocking primer, and the easiest way to apply it is with a spray can. In fact, some manufacturers design cans to spray up and even formulate the color to match a typical off-white ceiling. First, cover the area beneath the stain with a drop cloth, then gently dust the spot with the primer until it disappears. You want to feather the primer out around the stain a bit so the repair is less visible. And remember, several light coats are a lot better than one heavy coat. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Hey, what's up? We love Burger King grilled dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. Mm. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grilled dog. Made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want. You can try it in classic or chili cheese.
Flame grilled and made with 100% beef. Starting at just $1.99. Get a grilled dog now at participating Burger King restaurants. Flame grilling hot dogs since 2016. Price and participation vary.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Irving fakes, drives, James on the throwdown. James to Thompson. Oh, what a pass from LeBron James. Puts up the three and nails it. LeBron James from downtown. Tristan Thompson with a double-double here in the first half. James, the crossover, the layup off the glass.
How about the way that the Cavs have responded?
Dante Jones, who's hardly played in the finals, only 14 minutes through the first five games.
His 11th of the game finds James.
J.R. Smith hits a three way downtown.
James on the attack, left-handed once again, lays it in.
Throws it ahead to Smith. Smith, alley-oop to James. Wow!
As James lines it up and hits a three.
Green down the other end. James right there, blocked by James. Barbosa can't hold on. Oh, what a defensive play from LeBron James.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. Some highlights from the NBA Finals. And a little Stevie Ray Vaughan. God rest his soul. Let me tell you that right now. Last show, by the way, in case you didn't know. Many years ago in Alpine Valley. You may be asking, where the heck is Alpine Valley? Well, Alpine Valley is pretty close to where the Dorfman grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A sad day when Stevie Ray Vaughan and his helicopter passed away. Do you remember that day, just out of curiosity, Jeff?
I do not, unfortunately.
Shows who's a music guy here.
Most definitely. I see that to you, Dorfman.
All right, real good. Anyways, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. A lot going on in the sports world. If you're blind, if you've been living under a rock, we've got a Game 7. And I don't know about you, I don't know about Jeff, but it is the most incredible thing to me when it comes to sports. A Game 7, all the marbles, you're playing for everything. And it gets no bigger than a Game 7. It really doesn't. And I don't care if you're the visiting team or you're the home team. There's pressure on both sides, Jeff.
It didn't take very long for these two teams to develop something, to get familiar. And that happens over the course of 12 NBA Finals games.
No, but you know what? You make a great point. I think that hate is genuine. These teams absolutely, genuinely do not like each other. And that's a great point, Jeff.
Well, let me touch on the Cavaliers winning Game 6. You know, Golden State back to full strength suspension-wise after Draymond Green sits out Game 5. He was surprisingly suspended that we learned after last weekend's show.
I wasn't that surprised, though. I really wasn't.
And, you know, Draymond Green has brought this upon himself. I think that you and I have talked offline a little bit about how the punishment doesn't fit the crime when you're talking about suspending these guys for postseason games. But, you know, the Cavaliers, they take it back home for Game 6. The Warriors closed out in Game 6 a year ago when they returned on, I believe it was January 19th this year. They made some comments. They made some smug comments that are out of the character of the champions and the leaders that you want your kids to idolize growing up. And they said, you know, when we got to Cleveland, that visitor's locker room still smelled like our champagne. And I think the Cavaliers remembered that. I think that there was no way that Golden State was going to close out in 6. And the Cavaliers brought their game and one LeBron James brought it to a new level, if you could even believe that was possible.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back 41-point performance is pretty remarkable. We all know that. But look, I think that when you don't like your opponent, and this goes both ways. I'm not picking one side or the other. I think that makes for great, or what could be a great Game 7.
Think LeBron's a little bit mad? You think LeBron's got something to prove, that being that the other team features a contender, if not a guy that's already taken over the best player on the planet title?
You know what, though? See, I've been thinking a lot about that. And truth be told, I think we all know who the best player on the planet is. And it's definitely not Steph Curry. At least if you're humble, objective, and looking at this realistically. You know, it's funny. A buddy of mine said this to me yesterday. He says, you know what? It's taken me a while to appreciate, Dorfman, what you say is greatness. And I said to him, I looked at him and I said, wow, you mean all those texts that I've been sending you saying, repeating, rephrasing what Mark Jackson says, mama, there goes those men, or mama, there goes that man. And truth be told, he said, listen, Dorf, he said, for the first time, I'm able to sit back and I'm actually able to appreciate LeBron's greatness. And it's taken me a while to actually get here. And you know what? I thought about what he was saying, and it hit home with me so well. Because truth be told, I was the same way when I was watching Michael Jordan back in the day. Growing up as a young kid, watching him beat my Milwaukee Bucks over and over, time in and time again. And it struck me, and it hit me. And at a certain point, I accepted Michael Jordan's greatness. And I think people are similar with how they're going about LeBron James. It's hard to appreciate this guy's greatness when you're sitting there watching it, because you want to pick out all the flaws and everything that he's doing. But really sit back and enjoy what this guy brings to the table, dude. He leads the NBA Finals in just about every single category there is.
I think we gave it to Michael pretty early, and – you know, I was a kid at the time. I was born in 1978, so Michael was my elementary, middle school, high school years, because he did play so long. But he didn't have, if I recall correctly, he didn't have to play in the shadow of a legend the way that LeBron and even Kobe had to after the precedent that he set. So he was the trendsetter there, and I think that it was difficult. It's always going to be difficult for a guy like LeBron James to achieve that level, especially when you talk about 6-0 in the NBA Finals, which, you know, that ship has sailed on LeBron.
Yeah, but truth be told, see, I don't think in LeBron's case it's that important. The fact of the matter that the guy's gotten a 6 straight is absolutely remarkable in itself, and 7 total. And I think I've said this before. I truly feel that there's only one NBA championship that this guy should have won that he did not. And that's the year that they played the Dallas Mavericks, because Dallas kind of hit them out of the woodwork. They're up 2-0 and then they lose 4 straight games. So in my humble opinion, there's only one time that LeBron James did not go out there and do what he was supposed to do, and he failed. The other times, I truly feel he has not failed. And what I meant to say earlier when you brought up this Steph Curry thing about him being the new man on the town and the new guy, the best player in the world. See, I disagree. I think he's the best player in the world when it comes to the regular season. But when it comes to the postseason, hands down, LeBron James is the best player in the NBA playoffs. And he's the best player in this series by far. So even though Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors may walk away with that NBA championship, there is no way that LeBron James, in my humble opinion, does not walk away with the MVP honor this year.
Talk about something that would be absolutely meaningless to LeBron. You know,
I understand, but how crazy would that be to get that award? Let's say they do lose and you get that award in Oracle in a game 7. I mean, in all honesty, there's a little bit of justice in that, in just the sense of having those people have to sit out there and watch LeBron take that MVP, win or lose.
I think they'll get over it. I think they'll get over it if the Warriors win. If the Warriors lose, if the Warriors win, if they lose, LeBron gets the MVP. I mean, you've totally shifted the momentum in this thing. And they were up 3-1. They were up 3-1, and they had just clobbered the Cavaliers in the regular season. So, you know, there's just a new gear that the Cavs found in these last couple finals games. I really think they got the momentum going without Draymond Green on the court. I don't think that fact should be underscored at all, no matter how much the NBA fines Steve Kerr for his comments.
Well, and look, I think that Steve Kerr handled that. Actually, I think he handled it okay, to be honest with you. Look,
Do you think the Warriors came unglued a little bit at the end of Game 6?
Absolutely, they came unglued. You know,
do you
Steph
think that
Curry,
carries over, or do you think that they can put it behind them?
I think it carries over in a positive way. I don't think it carries over in a negative way. You know, the bottom line is you're playing one game for the NBA championships. And if that carries over, then that's not saying much about your character, your psyche, your mentality. So, no, I mean, they've had a few days to let that go, the dust settle, and let that blow over. I think they're focused, man. I really do. I think we're going to get a close game, and why not have it be Game 7? Like, seriously, when you think about it, all these games haven't really been close. There's been times when they've been close, but for the most part, one team has flexed their muscles. And as soon as that happens, one of these teams folds, whether it's Golden State or Cleveland, let's be honest. In the last two games, Cleveland has definitely been the aggressor, and Golden State has definitely looked weak and vulnerable and definitely very beatable. So, look, if it's not Love, it's got to be Tristan Thompson, and it's probably not going to be Love considering the fact that he hasn't been there all series, but somehow, some way, they figured out a way to get this thing done, at least to a certain degree, of pushing it to 3-3.
Yeah, that Tristan Thompson contract doesn't look so bad right now. $82 million, he looks like he's worth every penny of it, especially with Bogut out. You know, you got to count on Azili and Varejao to protect the rim. That bodes well for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Good stuff. It should be a great series, a great final game of that series. I'm expecting a nail biter. I really am. I think, you know, we've been a little bit unfortunate in the sense that the games haven't been that close, but good games. I mean, very good domination by LeBron, but hopefully we get ourselves a nail-biter game of Game 7. On the other side, we're going to hook up with our professor of sports, John Poulter. Keep it close to that. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Attention! If you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hartway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
Ichiro to right field and into the corner. Stanton around second, headed for third. Kemp picks it off the wall. And Ichiro with two hits now. 4,257. And it's a line drive double.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And again, in case you have been under a rock somewhere, Ichiro has taken over as far as the Hit King, if you consider the fact that he did it in two different leagues. And truth be told, I think this is a direct hit and a direct shot at one Pete Rose. And frankly, I find it unacceptable, to be honest with you. Let's welcome in somebody that actually has an opinion that really matters on this, none other than our professor of sports, John Poulter. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning, Andy. Good morning, Jeff. Doing very well, thanks. How about the two of you this morning?
I'm great, but this does kind of bother me, and it does sit with me wrong. This is a direct hit at Pete Rose, and truth be told, I don't care what he did in that other league. I understand he came over and had 10 years in a row of 200 hits and this and that and the other, but it's not the same, John, is it?
No, it's not, and I'm kind of on your side of the fence here, Andy. The major leagues are the major leagues. The Japanese league is the Japanese league, and I guess we've kind of talked about this before. I guess when we were talking about Cecil Fielder and his trip to Japan and how his game improved while he was over there, and how many times have we seen an average to a slightly better than average major league player go over to Japan, gain his confidence, become a much better ball player, and come back to the United States and North America and play better as a major league player than when he departed for Japan. So clearly there's room for development in the two Japanese leagues. But I think this is a little bit like quadruple A baseball. I think it's better than triple A baseball in Japan, but I don't think it's major league baseball standards. The parks are different. The pitching rotations are different. It's kind of an apples and oranges situation from my seat. It's, in my mind, and I don't mean this to be derogatory, but it is a lesser quality league. Perhaps that's partially offset by the fact that they play a smaller schedule or a shorter schedule, so he had less time to get those hits. But at the end of the day, I still think if we're going to look at major league hits, we look at North America, and if you want to add the two of them together, that's a different story. And in some respects, it's a little bit of an extension of the conversation we had last week after the passing of Gordie Howe, when we were talking about goals scored. And I pointed out that everybody thinks of Wayne Gretzky as being the goal-scoring king, and in the NHL he certainly is. But if you add their respective WHA totals to those NHL totals, for both he and Gordie Howe actually had more goals. But you ask anybody on the street in North America who the all-time goal-scoring king was in pro hockey, and I'll bet you 99.5 people out of every 100 are going to say Wayne Gretzky. And I think this is much the same situation. So, I tend to agree with you that Pete Rose, regardless of his personality, regardless of the stance that he's taken and the way he's irritated a fair amount of the population, I still consider him to be the Major League Hit King.
Sometime this summer, we're going to see Ichiro Notch hit number 3,000, and that's actually going to be a bigger deal, especially considering the guy started his career at the age of 27, if you only count the Major League Baseball statistics. So I think that it's important to recognize how many hits he had in Japan before he came over, because he came over when he was so old. But at the same time, I don't think that anybody with any reasonable person thinks that he belongs in the conversation with Rose and Cobb at the top there. So, hey, I got a question.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, and Jeff, you're 100% correct there. And, you know, he's not only going to make that this year. He may make this in the next month, because he's at 2,980 as we speak here on a Sunday morning. 16 years in a 16th season in the major leagues, ironically averaging 200 hits per season in the time that he's been here. And to your point, he wasn't a young man when he came over here. So, yeah, I take my hat off to him from that standpoint, but I agree with both of you 100%.
Hold on, but in one respect, I will say this, I can at least admit this. Two positives about Ichiro and this accomplishment. He did it differently than you spoke of, John, first and foremost. He didn't go there to get better and then come back to the majors. He started there and then came to the majors. So I think that in itself shows you he had the ability to go from one to the other, and he really did not skip a beat.
Correct.
And with all that being said, I have no doubt in my mind that he would have broken Pete Rose's record had he been there his whole career. And I think that that's fair to say, yes or no?
Oh, very much so. And the point that I was making in terms of going to the Japanese League and coming back, Andy, was not in reference to Ichiro. It was more in reference to the fact that Japan is seen as a less strong league than the North American leagues. And in a lot of American players' perspectives, they've used the Japanese League to either revitalize or boost a career. Yeah, I agree with you. If Ichiro had been over here as a young man, I don't doubt that we'd be sitting here today saying that he was past Pete Rose. So, 100% agree with you on that.
Well, here's something that stirs up a little bit of controversy with the guys coming over, the Japanese imports, for lack of a better term, being eligible for the Rookie of the Year. And I'd like to point out, in 2001, the Mariners were incredible. After the departure of Alex Rodriguez, Ichiro gets the MVP and the Rookie of the Year. So as far as I'm concerned, that legitimizes the argument that the count starts with Major League Baseball in 2001 when he started playing for the Mariners.
Agree 100%. And that's exactly the type of situation I think we have to look at. And again, paralleling it to hockey and the Rookie of the Year, Wayne Gretzky played a year in the WHA and was deemed not to be eligible for the NHL Rookie of the Year award when he came in, and all he did was lead the league in scoring, which should, to me, have cemented the Rookie of the Year. But then several years later, Peter Stastny, who had played his hockey in what was then Czechoslovakia, is now the country of Slovakia. He had played internationally, and when he came over, he was deemed eligible for the award. And I never quite understood why a player that had played in Europe was eligible for the Rookie Award and a player that had played in the WHA was not, and that has since been resolved. But yes, it's very, very much the same thing. If he wasn't eligible for the Rookie or the Year Award, I think that's an indication Major League Baseball didn't consider those records to be complete.
Hey John, you know, I'm sitting here, and I got to be honest, despite the fact that my favorite team, the Cleveland Indians, are playing outstanding baseball right now, my mind's not really on the game of baseball. I'm thinking about the NBA, and I'm looking at the Cavs going on the road in Game 7 here, and it's really a shame that the Eastern Conference lost the All-Star game back in February, because they're on the road. That's not actually the logic that applies, but I thought it was a good opportunity to take a shot at the format and even the fan voting for the Major League Baseball All-Star game. It all seems like it's just gotten out of hand.
Yeah, it's absolutely stupid. And, you know, if you want to make a game, want to make the comparison to the stupidness of the All-Star game, we in baseball, we have an exhibition game that's deciding where the most important game or games of the season are played. That is the extra home game in the World Series. And here's Here's a real stupid scenario for you. The All-Star Game is played in July, which is before the Major League Baseball trading deadline. So let's look at a team now that is in last place. And let's take the Atlanta Braves as a classic example. So Freddie Freeman is playing in the National League as the playing in the All-Star Game as the National League rep for the Atlanta Braves. Probably the only player that's going to go there. Bottom of the 12th inning, he hits a home run that wins the game for the National League. On the 28th of July, he's picked up by the Boston Red Sox in a trade at the waiver deadline, and he ends up playing for the Red Sox in the World Series. And it's his efforts in the All-Star Game that have caused his team in the World Series the extra home game. That, to me, is pretty stupid.
You can hear the music, so we got to take a quick pause for the cause. John, do you have some time to hang with us on the other side?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Got to say happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there in the AFN. We really appreciate you taking time out to listen to us, if you are listening to us. But ultimately, you give the greatest sacrifice for us to be here doing what we're doing today. So we really do appreciate you. Keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
Just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never worry.
Geico presents the Shazam 15, featuring the top 15 Shazam songs in the U.S. for this week. Get out your Shazam app now and check it out. Plus, have fun and interact with Geico. Gecko yourself and share it with friends. Watch your favorite Geico video. Get a quote. Shazam now for the full list and experience more with Geico. The Shazam 15, brought to you by Geico. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at Geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, hanging out with our professor of sports, John Poulter, breaking down some Major League Baseball for us right now. I just got a couple more on this, and then we are going to close up asking you about the Stanley Cup a little bit, because we do talk to you about both Major League Baseball and NHL hockey, John. But looking at it so far, you know, we're about that midway part of the season, which is kind of crazy because it's just flying by us. The Blue Jays a couple games back of Baltimore, and that's been a kind of an interesting race so far. Surprisingly, Jeff's Cleveland Indians atop that Central above the Kansas City Royals by a half a game. Detroit, they're battling this year. We got to give them a little bit of credit. We've been hard on them the last few years. The Rangers, maybe we're going to finally get them to be the ball club they can be this year. The Mariners and Houston kind of struggling a little bit behind them. The Nationals have finally kind of gotten themselves in the spot that we thought that they would get themselves, which is atop the East. The Mets are kind of behind them by six games or so. Surprisingly, the Marlins are still in this thing. I think this is about as far into the season that they've ever been in the race, and except for the year that they won. But truth be told, we know how it goes there. It's a factory for bringing players in and getting rid of players. So the Marlins being competitive this far in the season, somewhat impressive. Chicago, the Cubs, they have not come down to earth. I don't think they're going to come down to earth. The Cardinals, they've seemed to have woken up a little bit. Is that a sleeping giant? I don't know. The Giants, them too, they've woken up. Again, it's an even year. We expect them to play well. The Dodgers, struggling a little bit above 500, definitely underachieving. What do you take away so far from this Major League Baseball season, John?
Well, it's been all over the map, as you've pretty well covered in your recap of the six divisions. Some teams that we expected to be good have been good. Some that we expected to be bad have been bad. And some have worn two coats. You know, you look at a team like the Chicago White Sox as an example. They came out of the gate real fast, and all of a sudden they now find themselves in fourth place in that division, two games below 500. And they picked up James Shields from the Padres, and everybody thought this was going to be a huge boost to their rotation. You look at his numbers, three starts, 0-2. He's lasted a total of 8 2/3 innings, and he's sitting there with an ERA of 21.8. Not the James Shields that we all knew. I have to wonder if there's something going on there that we're not aware of, so I guess that's been a surprise. Texas has been playing fabulous baseball the last month or so, and they've opened up a pretty decent lead in that American League West, and they've been playing good teams. It's not like they've been playing the bottom feeders. You know, they're just one of those teams that seems to be able to turn it on, and right now they're sitting there with the best record in the American League. They've won five in a row. They're the best team at home in the major leagues other than the Cubs. So it has been a very interesting season. That American League East is becoming clearly becoming a three-team race. The Blue Jays came a bit of a tumble Saturday against Baltimore and had an opportunity to win that game and tie the Orioles at the top of the division, but now they find themselves two back again. I think that's going to be a division that goes on right into September. The American League Central, Jeff's Indians, still a half a game ahead, but they did lose three in a row in Kansas City this week, and that's probably the only reason that's close, because if that series is split or Cleveland takes it, I think we're looking at a fairly wide-open race there, too. And, yeah, as you point out, we have been rough on the Tigers, but they seem to be playing pretty good baseball. They're sitting there at 500. They're still only 3.5 games out, so lots of opportunities for them there. Cardinals, I think Jeff asked me a few weeks ago if I saw a team that was in third place or lower sort of coming out of the woodwork, and I think the comment was, you know, let's look at the Cardinals in August and September, because
hey John, let me jump on that, because currently in third place in the National League Central Division, you have the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have been kind of fighting to graduate from that one game wild card, despite the fact they won it a couple years ago. It doesn't look like they're the same team this year. You know, the Cubs' dominance might have something to do with it, but they look like they're going in the wrong direction. Thank God those people in Pittsburgh, those poor people in Pittsburgh, only, you know, have a Stanley Cup final championship.
Funny because that was another thing on my note list this morning, Jeff. Tough time to be a baseball fan in the state of Pennsylvania. The Pirates are 1-9 in their last 10, and so are the Phillies. And Phillies did start out the season looking like they might be a half-decent team, but like the Pirates, they've lost 9 of 10 and starting to find themselves getting out of that race in the National League East. I'm not really sure what's going on with the Pirates. I've probably seen 8 or 10 Pirate games this year. They certainly started the season very well against the Cardinals. They looked very strong. And I've seen a couple of games in the last couple of weeks, and to your point, they just haven't looked like the Pirates, and I really don't know what the problem is there because you look
I think it's pitching. I think they're giving up too many runs, whether it's their bullpen or just a little, you know, just one more run to a starter than usual.
Yep.
And, you know, it adds up to losses, and it puts them a couple games below 500.
Well, it does. And, you know, to your point, that's going to be tough to come back.
As we speak on a Sunday morning.
I think the Cubs are pretty much home free in that division now unless something absolutely hairy goes on there. The Cardinals and the Pirates, I think, are basically both going to be looking at trying to get into that wild card spot. And Pirates find themselves in that spot where they've got two teams to climb over as opposed to one.
And, there was a little bit of a segue there. And I'm going to take it the rest of the way if you don't mind, John. The Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup Finals, and we all thought the Sharks would wind up getting it done. First of all, how surprised are you that Pittsburgh won, but also the emphatic way they did it, a Game 6 on the road when, you know what, everyone probably thought San Jose was going to force a Game 7 like we have in the NBA Finals.
Well, you know, Dorf, I talked about Golden State becoming unglued. You know, Sid Crosby at the end of Game 5 there, it looked like, you know, the Sharks kind of were ready to, you know, hit everybody in the mouth, and they just didn't have it in Game 6.
Well, I think we talked about that last week, and I think we all kind of figured that they were just trying to get under his skin. And to Andy's point, I was surprised that the Penguins won the series because we chatted about this before the series started and we all agreed that the Sharks were a better team. And frankly, Pittsburgh played better in the six-game series. They deserved to win. They figured out a strategy to beat the Sharks, which obviously the teams in the Western Conference had not done, and that was to play a fast tempo game and take the Sharks right out of it. And the fact that the Sharks got that far, I think, was a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people. Andy and I had a number of conversations about this off air, where we had both kind of said when they decide to play, they're clearly the best team in the league. But this was a six-game series where I don't think they played at the level that we all anticipated they would. And clearly one of the things that helped in Pittsburgh was the coaching change in December. When that change was made, I believe they were on the bubble for a playoff spot. And they make a coaching change, and here we are at the end of the year. They've won the Stanley Cup, and deservedly so. To Andy's point, they certainly took the Sharks out of the game in Game 6, right in San Jose. They got that first goal. They got it relatively early. Takes the crowd right out of the game, and we've all talked about how important the home crowd is to any team, and certainly in a championship situation. Hats off to the Penguins. You know, I would not have picked them going into the playoff season, but they seemed to gather momentum as they went on through each round. They beat some pretty good teams, and deservedly Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, it just seemed to me like speed was killing San Jose.
Yeah, as I said to you last week, that the secret to Pittsburgh winning Game 6 was to come out and play the way that they had in the first four games, which was a track team approach, and that's exactly what they did. And I don't think San Jose was ready for it. And in this day and age of advanced scouting and videos and that, I'm surprised that they didn't see that Pittsburgh had that ability.
Yeah, and there was a couple times during the series where guys were right in front of the net and they were not laying a body on them, and that was surprising to me as well.
Yeah, it was very much different than what we've come to see San Jose. I mean, San Jose has always had a reputation as being a pretty tough physical team, not brutally tough, but strong tough. And that's always been the earmark of the Western Conference, that it's a more physical conference than the Eastern Conference. But this was one situation where the Sharks just didn't seem to want to move those guys out. And I thought going into the series that Pittsburgh's weaker defense might be the Achilles heel for them. But at the end of the day, San Jose didn't play as well defensively as Pittsburgh did. And it's been said many times that defense wins championships.
Great stuff as always, John. Really appreciate you taking time out with us, doing a little extra duty for us as well. Have a great Father's Day. Enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. I look forward to chatting next week, and happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. And we're now down to one sport in terms of our conversations each week, so lots of chance to talk about baseball.
Looking forward to it, John. It should be a fun ride the rest of the season because we know – it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and we're about halfway through that marathon at this point.
Yep, we're almost there.
Have a great day, John. Appreciate you taking time out.
Thanks, guys. Take care. We'll chat next week.
John Poulter, our professor of sports, breaking it down for us. Major League Baseball, NHL hockey, he's got us totally covered. Jeff, interesting, though, how I just thought Pittsburgh was just so quick out there, and it was almost like San Jose couldn't even get a body on him.
Right. I mean, San Jose couldn't play their physical game, and it was just Pittsburgh kind of playing it well. I'm kind of surprised the way that that series unfolded to see it even get stretched to six. I mean, Pittsburgh had a chance to close out at home, and while that's not that big of a deal when you lose game five and then win game six, rather than, you know, actually any situation where you don't close out with the opportunity to close out, you're blowing it, whether it's at home or on the road.
Yeah, and then when you do it on the road, it actually makes you feel pretty darn good because you blew that opportunity at home. And truth be told is they had three opportunities to get one game. It's kind of a similar situation when you think about it for the Golden State Warriors. You know, they have themselves in the same predicament that that Pittsburgh was in the sense of they have had opportunities to win this, and they've squandered two. They're down to their last chance, game seven at home.
Well, I think of those 3-1 leads, and I think of obviously Oklahoma City and Golden State in 2016, but I also think back to the 2007 American League Championship Series where the Cleveland Indians took a lead on the Red Sox. The Red Sox bounced back, as did the Warriors, but they both did it with more home games than away. You know, they won two of those three that they had to win at home. So the Cavaliers doing it. Obviously, it's unprecedented in the NBA to come back from 3-1 and win, period. Only, you know, they're only the third team to force a game seven.
But and I think the last time was, what, 1978, when it was the Washington Bullets, who are no longer the Washington Bullets.
And they beat the Seattle Supersonics, who are no longer in Seattle, nor are they the Supersonics.
So what we're really
trying to say is a sad topic. I don't like to laugh about that because I have history with the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens.
Well,
it's a fact.
They should never have lost that team. I agree with you 100%. You know, Seattle to me was always the Supersonics. And, you know, then they moved to Oklahoma City, and we all know the rest of that. But bottom line is 3-1 deficits are very difficult to come back from. And that leads me to my next point. And maybe I'll save that for hour number two, because along the way, I have kind of changed my mind about who I want to win this NBA series. I went on record and I said Cleveland will win in six or Golden State will win in seven. People didn't think that was a good prediction, told me I wasn't making a prediction. However, that is a prediction.
That makes a ton of sense. I don't know that the standard rules of, you know, you can win it in six, but you can't win it in seven just because of the home away thing. And I don't know that would apply here,
right,
just because of the momentum that Cleveland's taking.
Right, and it's kind of leading me to where I want to go, but I want to save that for sometime in hour number two, where I tell you how I've actually kind of changed my mind on who I want to win this series now. Anyways, he's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. One final segment here of this hour of Dorf on Sports. Keep it close. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back in a few, everybody.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Attention! If you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hartway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of this hour here on Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank John Poulter for hanging out with us, breaking down Major League Baseball, and giving us a recap of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Congrats goes to Pittsburgh. We're not hating. We're congratulating. So congratulations to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Good job. You deserved it. You played better. Jeff, hour number two on the horizon, and we're obviously going to really be talking a lot about the NBA Finals and whatnot, but do not want to miss that we have been watching a little bit of the soccer and this thing that's been going on. And the USA has played absolutely tremendous. I'm actually somewhat shocked to see that we've really closed the gap with the rest of the world, and I truly believe that.
So I've been told. That they played well with the seventh best team in the world, and you know, there's quote unquote experts out there, Colin Cowherd not among them, who think that the U.S. could be semifinalists in this tournament, and you know they're not going to be the best team in the world anytime soon, but they could play like it for a couple of weeks in any given tournament.
Yeah, and it's good to see that they can raise their level of play and that we've kind of closed the gap there on soccer. But anyways, hour number one is in the books. Keep it close. Hour number two on the horizon. Jeff Rich, Dorfman. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.